Hey everyone, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Writers at RVFTA.com.
And the authors of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations.
About 10 years ago, we had a couple of babies and a marriage that was on the rocks.
So we bought an RV and we started camping. The rest, as they say, is history.
Join us as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We'll also keep you dialed in to the latest RV innovations from people in the know.
So pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. And Stephanie, I think out of all the topics that we cover, my favorite topic to cover is anything having to do with our national parks. I am always excited for these episodes.
And I think that that's true, but in fact, we haven't done it enough. You know, like that's how sometimes we feel. Like there's endless content with national parks, but sometimes there's so much other things that we get, you know, we get sidetracked
RVs
with.
RVs and campgrounds and cooking.
And sometimes we realize we have so much fun talking about national parks. I think, remember we were on the Sirius, Rural Radio on Sirius.
A little while ago.
And the host spent so much time talking with us about national parks. Yeah. And it really, I was like, this is fun to talk about.
And
so we need to do it more.
It's really fun to talk to Shelley Bailey Shaw,
who's obsessed.
The editor of Kid Tripster about national parks. So Kid Tripster is an online resource that provides information and inspiration to families traveling anywhere in the world. The website has a designated outdoor section to guide those interested in exploring our country's natural wonders. Listen to this. Shelley's an expert. Shelley and her family have visited 46 states and 44 national parks. She has us beat in both of those departments, I will admit it.
By dozens.
And she's visited most of them in their RV, and she's headed to her 45th this summer. So we're going to talk today about best national parks for kids,
yes.
Which was a topic Stephanie and I have wanted to do for years, but instead we just decided to let Shelley do it. But before we do that, we need to thank our sponsor of today's episode, our friends at Thetford.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they've been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. You can go to Thetford.com to see a complete lineup of their products. And we also have a podcast from not too long ago about cleaning your RV exterior with a guest from Thetford to kind of like walk through the process and gave some product or
recommendations. And after a national park trip, that RV might be dirty.
It might be a little dirty. You're out there in nature. All right, Shelley, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys.
Now, you are a very, I would say, organized person from what I know in terms of your trip planning and then even your note taking and the way you write about things. You're always good at like getting across your, you know, main bullet points. So I know that there was probably some sort of secret criteria.
Stephanie doesn't say organized as an insult either.
I admire people that have it together.
If I called you organized, I'd be insulting you.
Jeremy doesn't understand
people.
I'm going
to take it as a compliment.
But I bet that you didn't just willy-nilly pick these national parks for kids out of a hat. I bet you actually had some criteria involved.
Yeah, well, I'll be honest. When you asked me to come up with a list of my top national parks for kids, I truly struggled. I mean, honestly, I could make a case for nearly each and every national park out there. Though I admit there's like three that I'm like, eh. I kind of wish I never went to those. I don't know if we want to name them.
Didn't you tell us one in the past? The most boring.
You got to name at least one of them
ever. Okay, tell us.
Oh, you know what? I did. It was Black Canyon of the Gunnison.
The Gunnison. You were like, don't go there.
It sounds so exciting, though.
Okay, but Shelley, tell us what other two. This is not part of the show, but tell us what other two we should mark off our list.
All right. I'm not a fan of hot springs. Because I just don't feel like there's enough outdoor activity there to like motivate my family, and my boys are not particularly interested in old bathhouses. So, you know, hot springs doesn't do it for us. And then I would say that the people in Ohio are going to hate me, but Cuyahoga Valley.
Near Cleveland.
Yeah, you know, it's not a bad day trip. I mean, you know, if you ride bikes and if you have little ones who like a train, That could be interesting. But again, I have teenage boys and it just didn't float their boat. So
I'm telling you, the hot springs thing, my least favorite thing that we did at Olympic National Park was that bathhouse. And it was my boys' like favorite thing. And they were like begging to go
back.
They
just loved it. But Stephanie, was it just because of the smell?
I don't know. It was just kind of, oh,
just like all those other people.
So many people crammed into warm water.
Oh,
it's just not for me, but they loved it. So I feel you on that, Shelley. Okay, but now that we've gotten that out of the way, let's.
There was criteria. So number one, I needed to have visited the park so that I could recommend it based on my personal experience. So I looked it up. There's currently 61 national parks. And as you mentioned, I've been to 44, so I've selected from those. And secondly, because of your audience here on the podcast, I only considered parks that are fairly easy to reach by RV. So the Hawaiian National Parks, America's Samoa, St. John, Dry Tortuga are out. I also didn't include any Alaskan National Parks because, you know, let's face it, those are a haul. But I will tell you that when I put this question to my oldest son, who's 19, he said his favorite national park of all time is Wrangell St. Elias in Alaska. And I think it's mostly because we went ice climbing there and that was pretty awesome. So file that park away if you're ever headed to Alaska.
All right. We'll file it away for a future episode.
It sounds like the exact kind of thing our kids would like.
Let's dive in. Get us excited here. And these are not in a particular order, right?
We're not
counting
down.
It's not like you're
doing
a countdown or a count up.
No. That would be too much pressure. So the first one is Yellowstone National Park. And I'm sure that Yellowstone seems like a no-brainer. Or maybe some listeners who haven't been there may think that it's overhyped. It's really not. You know, recently my family and I were traveling in New Zealand and in Iceland, two countries that are sort of known for their geothermal features, you know, geysers, hot springs, thermal pools, that sort of thing. And in both cases, as we were walking around like the best geothermal areas in those countries, both of my sons said, "It ain't no Yellowstone." I mean, like they could identify that Yellowstone was truly something special, and they were right. You know, I have yet to visit a place that compares in terms of geothermal features. You know, beyond Old Faithful, the thermal pools at Yellowstone are just really, truly stunning. And I could photograph morning glory all day long. Mammoth Hot Springs in the north is another not to miss location. Plus, you've got the Grand Canyon of the Yellowstone. You have the waterfalls near Canyon Village. The Tower Roosevelt area has kind of that wild, wild west feeling. And so there are all those different landscapes. Then there's the wildlife. And with perhaps the exception of brown bears at Lake Clark National Park in Alaska, my family has had our best wildlife encounters at Yellowstone. You know, of course, there's the bison, you know, bison galore. But we also saw a mama bear and her two cubs crossing the road, you know, right in front of us. We watched a fascinating drama play out between several pronghorn and a stalking coyote. I mean, those are just everyday occurrences at Yellowstone. So I think that Yellowstone is a park that you want to visit when your kids are young, probably age 5 and up. And of course, if you're going to Yellowstone, you should spend a few days at Grand Teton as well. Stunning mountain landscape there.
Nature on steroids. I mean, when the early American travel writers from the East went to Yellowstone and then came back and wrote about it, people didn't believe them. You know, it was so shocking what they saw, such a different world.
Now, I do want to mention before we go any further is that we will have links to Shelley's articles on KidTripStar.com for all of these national parks.
We should link to Carrie Cox's.
And right. So we'll put
podcast.
A lot of links over in the show notes for if one of these national parks that you're like, okay, that's going to be my next trip. We'll put a lot of planning links in for you over at rvfta.com. All right, what's the second, not the second most family-friendly national park, because we're not ranking these, but what is the second one we're going to talk about?
Yes. So the next one is Zion National Park in Utah. I love Zion, and I think it's a particularly good park for RVers basically you just park your rig at the South or Watchman campgrounds and then use the free shuttle system to access all parts of the park. You know, I recommend biking the Paris Trail and wading in the Virgin River. I mean, my kids love getting in the water right there at the campground. And usually it's pretty hot at Zion, so that's a great kind of afternoon activity. And there's lots of good hiking there. I particularly like the upper and lower Emerald Pools hikes. They're easy to do with young kids. On the Weeping Rock Trail, another family-friendly one, you'll see these hanging gardens where you can watch water droplets that have been in the making. They've been actually making their way down the canyon walls for like 1,200 years. And if you have teenagers, the Narrows is a kind of an adventure hike through a slot canyon. Most of it is actually done hiking in water, so that can be a really cool adventure. And Zion can be, you know, as part of like a two-week loop that you could do. We have a kind of a classic RV itinerary on Kid Tripster that includes Zion, Arches, Canyonlands, Bryce Canyon, and the North Rim of the Grand Canyon. So I really love Zion.
Cannot wait.
I know.
Cannot wait.
Well, that loop is something that's definitely on the short list. Unfortunately, we struggle with only being able to travel during
the
times
time.
That are so
that's
hot.
Been our
and that's
concern.
Been, yeah, the thing that's kind of kept us all from right. booking it.
The next one we're going to discuss is my favorite national park out of all the ones I visited.
He's so, going to hijack this one.
No, I won't. No, I won't. I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen. So tell us what you love about Olympic for traveling there with kids.
You know, I was interested to see if you would agree with my third choice, because I knew it was a park that you guys have been to, Olympic National Park in Washington State. It's out here in my neck of the woods, because I live in the Pacific Northwest. So I've chosen this one because I think it offers families a lot of diversity. I mean, this park is nearly 1 million acres in size and boasts three distinct ecosystems. So you've got the Glacier Cap Mountains. On a clear day, you know, you hike up through the Alpine area on Hurricane Ridge. The views there really can't be beat. And then you drive down the mountains into Ho Rainforest, and there's like the very doable Hall of Mosses Trail where you'll swear you're like in Middle Earth. And then my boy's favorite section of Olympic is the over 70 miles of Pacific coastline. They're beach kids. So, you know, I think the prettiest of the beaches is Ruby Beach, great for photography, as you know, Jeremy. And if you can snag a spot at Kalalak Campground, you're sitting pretty because you are just steps away from one of the longest, most pristine stretches of beach anywhere. So Olympic, I think it should be on everyone's list.
They are it's almost like three national parks in one because they are really distinct sections.
Yeah, and that's the thing about national. If you know, some people out there, they're going to gasp, right, to hear me admit this. But kids can get burnt out sometimes, like at a certain national park. Like, I'll never forget the Redwoods. The first day that we were hiking in the Redwoods was like awe-inspiring. By day four, if the boys saw another Redwood on a hike, they were like,
totally
enough.
True. Like, we all were ready after four.
Like, okay, we did a bunch of hikes and saw big trees, like, and it was awe-inspiring, and now it's not. And that can just be the case with kids. And Olympic,
I think
just
that can be the case with adults.
Adults, too. You're right, Shelley. Absolutely. And like, the thing is that just Olympic, it was like every day was a choose-your-own-adventure. It was crazy that we were on the beach and then in the rainforest and then on Hurricane Ridge and then, oh, canoeing in a lake. Like, really, you can do everything there.
And you know, it's not that far from Seattle. So if you don't want to make that cross-country trek, you could fly into Seattle, you could rent an RV, and you could be in the national park within an hour and a half.
Yep, been there, done that. Love that flight. Straight through, no stops to Seattle. It worked so great to get to a place that would have taken us forever to
drive. It wasn't even that expensive.
Before we learn about the next two of Shelley's favorite national parks for kids, we do want to thank our sponsor, Thetford. The industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. And now the bottom line is that most national parks are not going to have hookups at their campgrounds. So if you still want to have that wonderful experience of camping in the national park and you want to wake up and look around and, you know, be in awe of your surroundings, then we highly recommend taking with you the Smart Tote 2 LX, which what that's going to do is when you don't have a sewer hookup, you can use your freshwater tank, you can be taking a shower or doing your dishes or having drinking water through your filter. And then when your tank's filled up, you just empty it into the Smart Tote, wheel it off to the dump station, and you can start again.
And I hate to say it, but like Badlands National Park had pretty kind of dirty bathrooms.
Yeah, exactly.
The campground,
and
Cedar
some,
Pass.
If they have nice bathhouses, you don't mind using them, but sometimes you don't know until you get there.
It's a crapshoot.
Yeah. And so,
I didn't mean to do that.
You didn't mean to do that. All right. So check out, you can get an 18, a 27, or a 35 gallon model, just depending on how many of you there are and how often you want to use it. There's an auto stop level gauge that helps you because it's not going to let you overfill the tote. Yuck. All right. So visit Thetford.com for more information about the Smart Tote too, or you can follow the links in the show notes.
Welcome back, Shelley. Let's talk Glacier because we're going there this summer and we are so excited. So
Shelley's planning my trip for
me. Yeah, plan it for us. What do you love doing there with kids?
Well, you know, I'd reserve Glacier for when your kids are older, like yours. Glacier National Park is in Montana. And on a previous podcast, we talked at length about accessing Glacier by RV. Admittedly, it can be a little bit challenging if you have a big rig, but doable, you know, with some advanced research. And I say to wait on Glacier with, you know, older kids or teens because the true glory, and I do mean glory, of Glacier is getting deep into the park via a serious hike. So, for example, the hike to Grinnell Glacier is one where the vistas just keep getting better and better with every half mile. But the hikes are, you know, they're strenuous. It's a lot of up and down. So you want to make sure that your kids are ready for that kind of adventure. But Glacier, you know, one of my top three, like, of all time, whether with kids or not.
I'm glad we have waited a little bit because we want to do those hikes.
I feel the same way about Yellowstone. I really wanted it to be the boys to be a little bit older and to really be able to soak in that majesty and everything.
Or like Acadia, so. they can be little and you can still do those magnificent hikes because they're just easier.
Yeah, absolutely. Now another park that you did talk to us a lot about on the podcast in the past, but we still included in this roundup because I think at the time on the podcast you said that this is just one of your favorite national parks that you've ever visited with your kids is Great Sand Dunes.
Yes, Great Sand Dunes National Park in Colorado. Hands down, my family's pick for the most fun. You'll remember that in addition to like a challenging hike to the top of High Dune, there's sandboarding and there's sand sledding here. Just remember to rent the sand specific gear just outside of the park because a piece of cardboard and a snow sled isn't going to cut it. I've tried it. It doesn't work. And then, you know, later in the day when you're here, you'll want to head down to Medano River, which is at the base of the dunes, and witness that natural phenomenon called surge flow. And it's just fun, you know, to play in the creek. Dogs are welcome. I mean, we had a fantastic time. Exhaustive fun. Like, that's the only way to describe a trip to Great Sand Dunes.
Sounds so particularly well suited for kids too.
Yeah, I have a friend actually who's going here just this week with her kids. And I believe me, Shelley, I said, Shelley says this, Shelley says that. I gave her the whole rundown based on your advice for visiting this one.
Shelley, you do have some honorable mentions. And like you said, I mean, like, you could make a case for so many of these parks being really kid friendly, but what are your honorable mentions?
Yeah, I did cheat and I have three honorable mentions. So first is Badlands. And I'll admit, this park wouldn't have topped my personal list, but I distinctly remember my boys saying while we were there, and at that point, we had probably visited about 30 national parks, you know, so they had some background to say this, that this was their favorite at the time. And it was for one simple reason, that they could go anywhere. You didn't have to stick to the trail. I mean, you could climb every hoodoo, you could climb every spire in sight. And that was tremendously appealing to them. I think I remember it being appealing to your boys as well.
Oh my gosh, same with our kids. It feels like a wild adventure.
They felt like they were on another planet and they could just run free,
We had flown alone to Mars and just said, hey, kids, have fun.
And I knew when we were there, I thought, you know, you have those moments where you think my kid is never going to forget
this. And you do need to be careful with that there, because there are, and be careful in every national park, but there are like very sudden drop-offs. I mean, you have to pay attention, but it is one of those parks where you can get off trail. You're encouraged to get off trail. There aren't trails. There are trails, but there are places where there just aren't trails, where the trails end and you can keep going.
And there is that one trail that has those ladders. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head.
We love that.
The Notch Trail.
That's like a great adventure.
Yeah, that's the Notch Trail.
That was one of our top five family hikes, along with Hurricane Ridge, which you mentioned too. Stephanie, Shelley, is there anything better than getting your kids into our national parks?
You're cutting her off here. She's got two more honorable mentions.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Wait, you think Shelley only had one honorable mention?
I wanted to wax poetic.
I told you, I cheated.
I know, she has five picks and three honorable mentions, so you do the math. All right, Shelley, what about Mesa Verde?
So, you know, I have Mesa Verde down on the list. Now, I'll admit that I have not been there yet. We're actually going next summer. But in just doing the research for our trip, I mean, I'm sold. I think it's going to be a very educational and a very different kind of national park experience. So maybe someone out there on your Facebook group can attest firsthand to its worthiness to be on the list. But I kind of have a sneaking suspicion that we're going to love it. And then my last honorable mention is Natural Bridges in Utah. Now, this is technically not a national park. Instead, it's a national monument, but it is a complete hidden gem, especially for young families. And it can easily be part of that two-week Utah itinerary that we talked about earlier. And there's a hike there to the Sepapu Bridge, a natural bridge, and it's perfect for kids. It has a little bit of everything. It has slick rock and switchbacks, stairs, and these really cool like wooden ladders before you find yourself under this natural bridge where the opening is the size of the U.S. Capitol. Like the U.S. Capitol could like fit in the opening of this bridge. It's really cool. And best of all, you'll likely never pass a soul.
Wow, that sounds really like a fun adventure, right? Which is what this is all about. We're talking about national parks for kids. We're talking about really helping them reclaim that sense of wonder and adventure when they meet these amazing places of, you know, natural beauty in our country. Now, Shelley, please tell everybody where they can find more of your great traveling tips and information.
Yeah, we have itineraries that we have, you know, road tested personally. They're on kidtripster.com. Just check out our outdoor section and be sure to follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, and YouTube at kidtripster.
Well, we look forward to following your adventures. You always surprise us. Every time we talk to you, you're somewhere far-flung and adventurous. So.
Yeah, we've got your next five topics
lined
we've
got
up. Don't
we'll
you
let
worry.
You know.
We'll let you know when you come back from your summer adventures, because we know you're busy. So we'll give you a vacation from us for a little while.
Always happy to come back.
Thank you so
All
much,
right,
Shelley.
See you at the campground.
See you at the campground.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas. And a big thanks to the sponsors of this show, Jayco, Bass Pro Cabela's, Thetford, Go Power, and Go RVing. We appreciate their support in creating educational and inspirational RV content.
You can also find links to everything mentioned in this episode over at rvfta.com, plus hundreds of blog posts on everything from gear recommendations to our favorite camping recipes.
If you enjoy our show, please leave us a review wherever you listen, and make sure to get social with us on Facebook at The RV Atlas and on Instagram at Jeremy and Stephanie. Plus, we've got the friendliest campers around in our private Facebook group, so check it out.
Until next time, I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Stephanie.
And we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.